Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The General, John McClain, joins us, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, of course, our senior Texans columnist, SportsRadio610.com and GallerySports.com. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. John, you sound chipper today. How you feeling?
Chipper?
Yeah, your voice.
I don't know. Feel the way I do every morning.
No, you sound glib.
You know, you do. You sound very, because you've had some throat issues of late. You sound very crystal clear today. It was a compliment.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
He's a smooth talking, silky voice.
Yeah.
Well, son good. Of
we,
a gun.
We got a podcast to record in a few hours. I'm excited. Yeah. So, John, Mike Kafka and Ejiro Evero in town today. I guess give us a skinny on these two interviews and where these candidates fit into the pecking order right now.
Well, Ejiro Evero actually came to Houston last week. He's doing a Zoom today. And Kafka, of course, is available since he's not playing in a championship game. And they interviewed him last week. Now they bring him in. And maybe he'll blow him away and they'll end up hiring him, or they'll hire Ejiro Evero, but I just feel like it's going to be one of the coordinators who's in the championship game. And of course, I'm like most people, I'd like to see it be D'Amico Ryans, who had a great interview last week, according to what I've heard from people from both sides, not to say the others have not. But once you bring them in, and they can bring in the other three next week, and then even though the NFL doesn't like teams making big announcements in Super Bowl week, I think that it'll be during Super Bowl week when they'll make the hire and then get on with the assistant coaches. And so it's a very exciting time. I know very little about Evero because he took over a defense that was put together by Vic Fangio. He did a really good job. You know, it was overshadowed how well the defense played because the offense was so horrendous. And so, you know, maybe it'll be him. I don't have an idea who it will be, but my guess is it'll be one of the three who we see play this weekend.
You know, John, if it is indeed those three guys from the Eagles and the 49ers that are the finalists, and we don't know for sure, but let's say it is Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, or D'Amico Ryans. I'm like you. I like D'Amico for various reasons. But if it came down to Steichen and Gannon, what's the tiebreaker there? And let's say it's not just that Steichen is an offensive guy. Like, what's the tiebreaker between Steichen and Gannon?
Since I don't know them, I'm not sure, but I'll say this, both have done fantastic jobs. Steichen's got the most balanced offense in the NFL. He's got a great running game with running backs people I haven't heard of. Both have great lines. The offensive line of the Eagles is great. Defensive line is great. 70 sacks, 5 more in the last game. And their linemen all were in double figures. So if he's the coach, he's going to demand improvements in the defensive line, which we already know they need another pass rusher and they need another interior guy. And they know Gannon best because they interviewed him twice last year. They've interviewed him once this year. And so I'm sure they'll, I'm guessing they'll bring him in, even though they're, I don't know what else they could find out, unless they're picking his brain about his defense. And then Shane Steichen has been a coordinator longer than any of these guys, 3 years, once with the Chargers when Justin Herbert was a rookie. He calls the plays. I like both these guys. For everything I've heard, read, talked to people, the Eagles' defense is outstanding. We talk about D'Amico's defense, but, man, the Eagles is good too. So people like both of them. And maybe the odds makers have Gannon as the favorite because they've interviewed him so much and they know him so well.
John McClain joining us, brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, I want to circle back to D'Amico for a second. You mentioned something there that sounds like you've been in communication with people from both sides of that and that the interview went well. Is there anything more you can divulge or share about the interview went well? Was it the interaction? Was it, just any more elaboration you can do on that one?
Whatever D'Amico told them in his first interview, he interviewed Friday afternoon after the 49ers had finished, and it was a long interview and went into the early evening. And I'm guessing because each of those with the Broncos Thursday and the Texans on Friday, you know, when you're doing those and you're about to play a game, it didn't surprise me. The word Jay Glazer used on the other two teams was cancel. It would sound like they were postponed. But I know that all I know is whatever he told them, whether they asked the question or not, they were very, very impressed. And D'Amico is, his wife is from here. They got married here. While he was with the Eagles, and they started a home for wayward children here during the pandemic. And so it's almost like their second home. And so you were talking about the way these jobs are rated. I was listening to an NFL show, and the net broadcasters, the talk shows, were talking about the more they studied it, the more attractive the Houston offer became once people got beyond firing a coach 2 years in a row. Because every talk show I've done said, if you look at way Texans performed this year, especially on offense, it's not surprising they've moved on. If Lovie Smith had a better coordinator than Pep Hamilton, who'd done a better job, he'd still be the head coach. So people are kind of okay. Instead of knee-jerk reaction, they fired guys back-to-back seasons. Oh, this is a pretty attractive situation with the draft choices and the cap situation. And any first-time head coach needs an experienced personnel guy. Casario's got 22 years. And so then the key is, who would they have offense? You know, if it's D'Amico or Gannon, do they call the defense? Do they bring in a coordinator? I'm guessing they would call it. And does Shane Steichen want to call his own plays? Does he want to hire an offensive coordinator to do for him what he's done for Nick Sirianni, which is call the play? So those are the kind of things that the team would already know since they've talked to him at length. But I think we're getting closer and closer. It might be next week, but it could be at the latest, I think, the Super Bowl week.
John, I want you to choose between two unlikely scenarios, but which one would you prefer? If D'Amico were to bring one of these two into his home for wayward children, Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers, which wayward child would be a better fit for the Houston Texans?
You mean for D'Amico's home for wayward children?
Well, yeah, is it also to play football?
Are you talking, for a quarterback? Well, yeah. First of all, I can't imagine either one of them would want to come here considering they're still rebuilding, and both of them want to go to a team that gives them a chance to go to the playoffs, and Rodgers would cost more than Derek Carr, so I guess Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Boy, and that would be something for the Texans.
Jeremy
fans.
Fowler had put it out there. Yeah. That it was. He tried to connect a bunch of dots based on Casario having worked with the Raiders GM at some point, and they've done trades
together.
It wasn't even
him. It was like some coach he was quoting or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I don't see it.
Sleeping break. Yeah. Either one of those guys is coming here. Jeez. Can you see Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. I'll go into a rebuilding situation with everybody that knows him, including the people that have covered him for years. And I saw one this morning, Rob Demosky on ESPN. He does not want to go to a rebuilding situation.
John, some reports that it looks like the Broncos and Sean Payton may be on the verge of a marriage here. What kind of stock do you put into that report, and do you think it's a good fit?
If it's money, they got more money than anybody in the NFL, including David Tepper, Carolina. And they don't have a lot of draft choices, but it'd be a long-term deal. They'd have to give up a one, whether it's this year or next year. And I was watching ESPN talk about he has a close relationship with Russell Wilson, and I'm trying to figure out, well, why? How would he never work with him? How would he be, quote-unquote, close? And so I think it'd be a good fit if that's where he wants to go. You know, it's a great fan base. They sell out every game. He's got a good defense, and they could pay him the $20 million, which would put him right there with Bill Belichick, even though he doesn't deserve to be with Bill Belichick.
With Sean Payton, he's dead last on my power rankings of coaches that I want here now. Partly just because I feel like him leaking whatever he leaked to Colin Cowherd about how it went with the Zoom meeting with the Texans. Just, it's off-putting to me. I don't think he's interested in the Texans. Is there any chance that he's still in the conversation at all?
There's always a chance, but I'd be surprised because based on he goes on Colin Cowherd a lot. And when he's not on Colin Cowherd, Colin's got a lot of information about him, like you were talking about last week. I know this. I can't imagine the Texans would pay $20 million for a head coach. And, I mean, guys like Pete Carroll and Andy Reid, who've been around forever, they make, from what I understand, just short of $15 million a year. I think they'd pay that. But it's not like Peyton's beating down their door to come here. You know, a lot of people, it's Mike Florio, is pushing the narrative that Tom Brady and Sean Payton could go to Carolina. But the Saints would want more from the Panthers to let him go to a division rival that would make them the favorite right away. And the Panthers have a lot of pieces put together other than the quarterback. So I don't know if he wanted to be with Brady, like they said he wanted to be with Brady last year in Denver, and then the NFL found out about it and fined the Dolphins and took away their number one pick this year. That would be the place to do it. Could be he's using Denver. I mean, Sean Payton's on TV. He's smart. He knows how to leak things to get his message out, and I can't wait to see how it ends up. And Denver, to me, be just as good as Carolina.
John, are you happy for your old friend Bill O'Brien that he's back in the NFL?
Yeah, well, that was one of the worst-kept secrets. I've been seeing that and sitting near the end of the year. He knows Mac Jones. Mac Jones should improve over the way he was coached this year. Bill Belichick always had great things to say about O'Brien, so good for him.
Yeah.
Is that, I guess, just that whole scenario up in New England this year where Matt Patricia, defensive coordinator, is the offensive coordinator. Joe Judge, a special teams coordinator, is your quarterback's coach with your young first-round quarterback who just came off of a pretty good year. Do you get the sense now that they were just – biding time until Bill O'Brien, you know, became available from Alabama?
That's the way it looks, Seth.
Yeah.
And that was an expensive price to pay to do that while you're waiting on Bill O'Brien. And Bill coached Bryce Young both years, and Bryce Young did great. He should be the first quarterback taken. But, man, if you're just keeping the seat warm with a former defensive coordinator and special teams coach, both of whom have been fired for head coaching jobs, usually Bill Belichick is the smartest guy in the room, but Mac Jones took a step back, coached by those guys, and I don't know what Belichick expected. I kept thinking that he knows something everybody else doesn't know, and Jones is going to take that improvement you expect to see in a sophomore quarterback, but it certainly didn't happen.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when you're really, really, really good at your job. Yeah, every now and then you can just tell your boss, like, hey, by the way, we're going to try something crazy. And actually, I was about to say, it might really be a disaster, but it wasn't a total disaster as a team effort that he's just got that kind of leeway.
If Jacoby Myers doesn't throw that ball back in that Raider game, they make the playoffs.
It's actually, if they make the playoffs with two non-offensive coordinators as – like co-offensive coordinators. Yeah. That's actually pretty impressive.
It is. Not bad.
Put it like this. There's an Assistant Coach of the Year award, and I don't think that we will see Patricia or Judge in the running.
No, I doubt it, John. Hey, John, real quick before we get you out of here, does Jim Irsay pull the trigger and hire Jeff Saturday to be a full-time coach?
I just can't imagine he would do that based on what we saw, but he is Jim Irsay. He was the last coaches he's had have been pretty good selections. They've done well. I mean, even Frank Reich did well till the quarterback carousel. But Saturday would still be so off the wall, it wouldn't surprise me. But I just can't imagine they're going to do it.
All right, John, what do you got going on your various platforms?
I'm writing today about Bruce Matthews, who is going into the Houston Sports Hall of Fame tonight at the big event at the Wortham. I'll be part of the Bruce presentation. And on sportsradio610.com, I'm continuing to write about the race to be the next Texans head coach.
John, I will talk to you in a few hours when we record our mailbag episode of the Utopia Football Podcast.
I look forward to it. Guys, thank you very much as always.
All right, thanks, John. Appreciate that. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. HOUmailbag@gmail.com if you want to send in a – if you got your phone out and you're in front of your computer, you want to email John and I a question, if it's a good one, we'll get it on the episode this week. We record in just a few hours. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. All right, up next, we just mentioned Bill O'Brien. If you want to hear enthusiasm for Bill O'Brien getting hired to your football team, stay tuned. We've got it for you. Next. Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Bill O'Brien is the new offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. I say new, he's resuming his role that he left in 2011. So a decade later, he's back in New England. That's where he's from. And he will be coaching for the team that he broke into the NFL with. I think Bill O'Brien's thought about a certain way here in Houston, largely because of how it ended with him as the general manager. Did some decent things as a coach, but as a GM, it was a disaster. And we'll see. He's been the OC in Alabama the last couple of years, done a nice job there with Bryce Young, despite what some Alabama fans think about him during some of the losses that Alabama has.
People in Alabama were so happy to see Bill O'Brien go.
Yeah, he was public enemy number one.
The defensive coordinator, I think, just walked away. Right?
He went to Ole Miss. Yeah, yeah, Golding went to Ole Miss. WEEI is our sister station up in Boston. Which show was this on WEEI, Seth? You know?
The Greg Hill Show.
Okay, the Greg Hill Show.
Which features Greg Hill and some other guy that talks like the ultimate Bostonian.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm here
I don't
for
know
it.
Who it is, but he sounds like he's from Boston.
Here was the Greg Hill Show on our sister station, WEEI.
And I found this because Landry tweeted it out last night.
Okay.
Basically saying, wow, they sure are excited to hear about Bill O'Brien coming back up in Boston.
Let's hear it.
Bill O'Brien is returning to Foxborough as the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach.
Woo-hoo!
That okay. is important. Quarterback coach was the job description of Joe Judge. So that officially means that Joe Judge is out in that capacity. But Bill O'Brien has returned to the Patriots as the offensive coordinator, and this is phenomenal news.
All right, step one complete.
Yeah. Step two, you're going to say, is getting a different quarterback.
No, now, well.
Can we give Mac Jones a year?
Well, he can get a year.
This is his second season. Let's get rid of this whole entire second season. This All is right. it here with a legit coordinator who knows the system, knows yep. Bill Belichick, and knows Mac Jones.
Yeah, that's Jermaine Wiggins, by the way, former NFL.
Oh, yeah, former teammate of Ted Johnson's.
He's from Brooklyn originally.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're super excited about it. I think up there, they feel like, okay, they never won a Super Bowl if they had good offenses with Bill O'Brien and Tom Brady. My cautionary word to the good people of Boston would be that, yes, they had good offenses when Tom Brady was the quarterback up there. With Bill O'Brien in Houston, they never finished better than 11th in scoring in the NFL. And they only finished better than 14th once. That was when they finished 11th in 2018. Twice they finished 14th, then 17th, 22nd, and 29th. Like, they were not productive offenses with the Texans under Bill O'Brien. Now, you could blame it on various things, but I think the key thing there is that they never had Tom Brady at the helm and Bill Belichick as a head coach during any of those Bill O'Brien offenses.
14th is in the lower quartile of the upper middle quartile.
It's in the lower half of the second quartile.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
I don't know what your big complaint is, honestly.
It's the lower half of the second quartile.
Yeah.
According to Jim Irsay. Well, if Jim Irsay were to speak accurately about
it. I don't even know this, but there's four quartiles total, and that's the second quartile.
So in the six full years that Bill O'Brien was here, five times his offense, or I should say his team, because this includes, you know, some defensive scores, the team was 14th or worse in scoring.
Yeah.
So they were like just about dead average or worst in scoring in five out of those six full seasons. And then the one season, they were in the, not even in the top third, Sean. They were in the, they were.
What quartile were they in? I only speak quartile.
Well,
there's sort
of 11, well, 33 if it was a, so it was, if they were, well, if they were 11th, yeah, they were just outside whatever the top third would be.
They were in the upper half of the second quartile, yes.
They were a third of a spot away from being in the top third.
In the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think here's the thing to me about this O'Brien thing. Those are numbers that if I'm in New England, I want to know those. You're right. You're absolutely right. I think what they're thinking, they're not thinking of O'Brien, the Texans head coach and OC, when they're effusive in their praise. They're thinking of two things. Holy crap, it was bad with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge.
Yeah.
And you know what? When O'Brien was here, wasn't that bad. They made it to a Super Bowl in 2011 with O'Brien as the OC.
Yeah.
Obviously, the big difference is you had Tom Brady in his prime in 2009 through 2011, clearly. I think what's different, too, is that you're not stepping in. If he were coming in last year, it would feel a little more like that. I'm not saying Mac Jones is Tom Brady, but Mac Jones was not a repair job. He's a repair job now. He's a fixer-upper, makes him sound like he's old. This is a bit of a triage situation for O'Brien. Like, Mac Jones is a little bit broken from that year.
Yeah.
So he's got to get Mac Jones back to at least where he was as a rookie. So this is different than just sort of steering the ship that Tom Brady's on with you. Like, O'Brien's got some work to do at this job.
Yeah, and
Jones is the most important player in the building.
Look, if you go through Bill O'Brien's history as an offensive coordinator and or a head coach, his offenses when Tom Brady was not his quarterback have been very mediocre.
Yeah.
It's really an impressive feat that he's pulled off, mostly by taking the right jobs and I think being a smart football guy, but ultimately never actually generating or creating a great offense. He took over a great offense and he manned the rudder for a few years and then sprung board off of that into other jobs. So, you know, and likewise with Alabama. Now Alabama would be a – so I should – because I remember going back and doing all these and doing spreadsheets of it. Alabama has had a very good offense, but again, that was similar to – they've also got – the best talent in the country.
Sure,
you know, or amongst the best talent in the country. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, this would be the biggest challenge in terms of expectations for him.
Yeah.
I think for him to get that offense anywhere close to back what it was when he had Tom Brady as his offensive as his quarterback is going to be a it'll be something that he's never pulled off really in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to put it. Text message, trailer, wheel, and frame text page. Trailer, wheel, and frame. 0520. If possible, can you ask John McClain? Okay, well, we can't. He's not on with us anymore, but we can ask.
No.
We can ask Seth Payne. If possible, can you ask John McClain? What are his thoughts on Greg Roman as the OC if D'Amico Ryans is selected as the head coach?
I think the problem Greg Roman is going to have is that now he's been typecast as a guy who can get the most out of the legs of an athletic quarterback, but without actually, you know, teaching him or creating an offense that turns him into a better passer. And, you know, because he's done it with Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, Lamar Jackson now, and ultimately he needs to show that he can actually help cultivate a really good passer somewhere along the way. So I think him in a, like, I don't know if this is ever a good idea. I'm sure it's worked in various scenarios, but as a co-offensive coordinator with a passing coordinator, I think there's something intriguing about that. The problem is when the Ravens tried that, it was with David Culley as the passing game coordinator.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to elaborate a little.
Yeah, I don't know. He ruined the problem is Greg Roman ruined David Culley
as
a passing game game coordinator.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ever heard of Air Culley? That's what we wanted.
Air Culley.
Yeah.
So I would be surprised, especially given that, you know, neither of the top two quarterbacks here, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, are nearly the types of athletes.
No, not even
that. You know, and Colin Kaepernick wasn't a great athlete, but he was an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, like he wasn't Lamar. Nobody's Lamar Jackson.
Right.
But I think both Colin Kaepernick and Tyrod Taylor could hurt you with their legs. And remember that Colin Kaepernick was in that first wave of zone read quarterbacks NFL.
Yep.
To where, and he was, and Colin Kaepernick, because he played the pistol in college
at Nevada,
he was amongst the first to actually run the pistol, and then they unleashed that in the NFL and nobody had seen it before, so it was really like a confluence of a whole bunch of factors that was perfect right then, but it's not the same as taking Bryce Young and turning him into an NFL quarterback.
I've not taken a look at the 49ers staff to start shopping around for who's going to coach the offense for the Texans.
If it were,
let me be clear. People are like, wait, did they hire D'Amico? Yeah. They didn't hire D'Amico, but if they hired D'Amico.
There was a rumor that Clint Kubiak, son of Gary Kubiak, was going to interview with the Bucks.
Yeah, I saw that.
And somebody else told us that they might think that might not be true. But like Clint Kubiak obviously has experience in the system. Chris Forrester, who is the 49ers offensive line coach and run game coordinator, has been mentioned a good chunk. And that would be intriguing, obviously, with D'Amico. I think people are going to hear run game coordinator and get a little bit nervous about that. I remember that in that Kubiak offense or in that Shanahan offense, the run game and the passing game are so intertwined. It's not one setting up the other. It's just that everything, they try to make everything look the same. Like, they've got so many plays where the run looks like the pass and the pass looks like the run. So those guys work a lot more in concert than perhaps with other types of schemes or systems. So that's one of the names I've seen thrown around. You know, with offensive coordinators, it's always, okay, it's a receivers coach or it's an offensive line coach or some running backs coach that you never really heard of before, but, oh, it turns out he's a really good offensive mind. So
sure.
I'm wide open as long as, if it were D'Amico, for instance, that he's got a plan, obviously. Like, he's got a pipeline of guys that he's going to reach out to.
The one, I don't know if myth or narrative is the right word, but the one thing about hiring D'Amico or a defensive person from the Shanahan tree is, oh, and they're going to bring somebody and they're going to run the Shanahan offense. The Jets this year have poured cold water on that for me.
Yeah.
They brought in Mike LaFleur, and it's been a disaster with Zach Wilson. I think some of that is Zach Wilson, but I read an article in The Athletic about Mike LaFleur. You know, it just wasn't all roses behind the scenes. Well, it wasn't nearly as seamless a transition.
This is the other part, and this is the intriguing part to me. Okay, the big issue with the NFL and not hiring an offensive coach is that you end up getting, you know, an offensive whiz kid who ends up, you know, like the off, if you get an offensive whiz kid as your offensive coordinator, he's going to get yoinked to be a head coach
in like 2 years. Yeah.
So ideally, whether it's a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator, if you can find a guy who's an older guy who's not really thought of as a head coach guy, that's what Bruce Arians was forever until he kind of, the freakish Chuck Pagano cancer situation, yep, kind of elevated him to that role.
Yeah.
Chris Forrester is 61 years old.
Older guy.
And likely, is not really thought of as a head coach type of guy. If he can be your offensive coordinator and you can have, some stability there,
delegate,
that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Just like Dick LeBeau was like that for a long time. Okay, he's not a head coach anymore. Doesn't want to be a head coach. He just wants to be a defensive coordinator. So if you get him as your defensive coordinator, like Tomlin had him, and then like they had him in Tennessee,
yeah,
you don't have to worry about him getting plucked out of your hands.
That's a good point. All right. I would say of the mock drafts, the ones that I think a lot of football fans look forward to, agree or disagree with him, Mel Kiper is sort of the godfather of that. He's got his first mock draft out. And what does he have the Texans doing? How excited will you be? Does he have the Texans moving in a direction that you see as positive? We will tell you what the old Melster says next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Before we get to Mel Kiper's mock draft, we need to clarify something.
I forgot.
Seth Payne's candidate to be the OC for the Texans.
Chris Forrester. I mentioned him because it was in an article about how he might be an OC coordinator, an offensive coordinator candidate this year.
She could be.
I had completely forgotten that this was the fella who, when he was the offensive line coach in Miami, video emerged of him snorting coke and talking to the, I think it was a Vegas dancer that he missed and wanted to be with again. Ben, do we have it yet? Is it? Okay, we'll wait. We do have it? Okay. I don't know.
Well, hold on. Ben, why do you look so disgusted?
What's wrong, Ben?
Yeah. Maybe Ben, a simple yes would do. Like, you rolled your eyes and started cackling. Like,
The thing Seth told me to chop off at the end, I didn't have time to, but I don't know if it's there even. So.
Okay.
All right, good.
Okay.
It's not chopped
he's
off.
He's chopping off sound. He's not chopping off body parts.
All right, so let's, Ben, just give me a hand signal when you cue so Sean and I can watch the video alongside.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey, babe, miss you, thinking about you. How about me going to a meeting and doing this before I go?
He's leaned over three lines of coke, snorting it up with a
snorting. You get all of it.
And there's those big grains falling, but I miss you. I miss you a lot.
He misses her.
Yeah. And then goes after another line.
What do you think? Crazy? No, babe.
So what do you think? Crazy?
She in the room.
But I think about you
on a video call.
I think about how much I miss you. How high we got together. How much fun it was.
Let's cut it off there. Let's cut it off there because I think he might say something at the end. I'm not sure. So he's like, he looks at the camera.
Let's find out.
He says, I miss you. I think about you and how we did this together.
Yeah.
Before he goes into this O-line meeting.
Yeah.
So but this is the guy.
Yeah.
He's no threat to become a head coach
at all.
And he's admitted to, he had drug and alcohol issues.
Unfortunately, I don't think he's a threat to become the OC here either.
But why?
Something
he did. I mean, he was young. He was like
young.
He was like 51 years old. He's just a sapling at this point in his life. He hadn't matured yet. He's admitted he had drug and alcohol issues.
He did.
And maybe a choice of women. Because you know who leaked that video to the media? This little love poem from him to her.
Her, yeah.
She
Saboteur.
She was making some point about how I can't remember which athlete it was at the time, but that young black athletes are kind of run through the ringer when they have legal issues. But how come not this guy? And it was like, well, because nobody knew about this,
yeah.
So you released right. it. So, but so his choice of her, like to be the guy that she's in, that he was in love with, and couldn't.
Swim. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if he's got the judgment to be the next Texans offensive coordinator.
Definitely don't want his input on a quarterback. I'll tell you that right now.
Where's on draft night? Wait, we got to get Chris's opinion on this guy before we draft him. Where is he? Pretty sure the bathroom coach.
He's
that's where he's been.
Telling somebody. He misses them. So he was that.
Turn out to announce the pick, Chris Forrester. Yeah, what's up, guys? What do you want to know? What do you want to know? I got to tell you what. This guy is this guy to the moon with Bryce Young. My God. I've never seen such talent.
Take a quarterback. I'll take seven. Seven of them. How many can we take? How many can we take?
You know, a lot of times people say, like, okay, what do you want out of your quarterback? And I always ask them, what don't you want out of your quarterback? Right. You got to have everything. Right. But the way we're going to do it is kind of just redefine the paradigm in a way that people haven't done before. I think about it, man, that sounds a lot like Jack Easterby.
The commissioner's up there, and they play the little draft sounder. Ben, hit the little sounder for the draft. They're like... They're like, with the second pick, the Houston Texans, and Forster comes up there and just shoves Goodell out of the way. We take C.J. Stroud. We got C.J. Stroud. Oh, Stroudy, baby. Stroudy, baby. We are taking C.J. Which is, by the way, that is who Mel Kiper Jr. has them taking, by the way.
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud.
What does old Kipe's dog say about him?
Kipe dog has Jalen Carter going to the Bears number one. So in this scenario.
Ooh, so we actually prefer C.J. Stroud in this scenario.
In the world, according to Kiper, we do. Here's what it says. It says, Houston just fired coach Lovie Smith, and the franchise's clear offseason priority is upgrading quarterback. Talks about how Davis Mills struggles. I see Stroud as the best fit here, as the Texans could get their pick of the top passers. He's extremely accurate. Can make every throw, excellent touch at every level of the field. I don't usually put much stock into a single game evaluation, but Stroud's performance in the narrow loss to Georgia in the semifinals showed me something. He was spectacular against an elite defense, carving up the Bulldogs with his arm and using his legs to maneuver the pocket and find receivers. Houston still has several needs, but it should start with Stroud. I have Stroud just barely behind Will Levis and Bryce Young in my rankings, but it's going to be a close race through April.
Yeah, it's, you know what, honestly, like, because another thing scouts will always say is, like, how meaningless 40 times are, this, that, the other thing, but then they'll gush about somebody's 40 times.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the biggest lies. It's, like, you earlier talking about how Aaron Rodgers was claiming that he didn't care about something Gronk said, and he talked for, like, 3 minutes about how he didn't care about it.
I know he didn't care because he explained it for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, you sure are talking a lot about that thing you don't care about.
Right.
So I feel like 40 times and great performances in bowl games are the same way. Every scout's going to tell you, like, well, only a dullard would actually take one game and extrapolate anything from that. However,
yeah, oh no, totally. Like, yeah, he's Kiper's doing it. I don't usually put much stock.
Everything
yeah.
before the butt is BS.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So, so C.J. Stroud with the second overall pick. By the way, he's got Bryce Young going to the Colts at four.
There are a lot of coaches, I think, that flat out, or GMs that flat out aren't going to want to draft Bryce Young because of his size. Along the lines of what Sean Payton was saying, like, don't draft outside a prototype. And it just comes down to the luck of the draw as to, okay, which team is willing to trade up perhaps for that and which isn't. You know, Kyler Murray, okay. Kyler Murray went number one overall. There were plenty of teams that year that just flat out wouldn't have drafted Kyler Murray number one overall if they didn't have the pick or if they had the pick. So I think that's the big guessing game right now is who out there actually has an appetite for a quarterback that's so much smaller than your typical top pick and is willing to trade draft capital to get up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because now they got to really be in love with a guy. It's one thing to have the number one pick and take a guy who's not prototype. It's a whole other deal to aggressively trade up for that guy, too.
Yes.
You're kind of doubling down on your career longevity there.
It's different if you trade up. It means it's not who fell to you. It's I want to go get that guy.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to pay a premium to do it.
You could figure out a way to blame Lovie Smith on Bryce Young not working out as a quarterback if you were right. number one overall.
Yeah.
If you if Lovie had just gone for two, we wouldn't have been in that position.
Yeah. Yep.
But he kicked the extra point and we tied it in overtime.
Yep. Yeah. The Texans are also picking 12th. So let's do this. The 12th pick in the Mel Kiper mock draft. Forster's not going to show up and shove him out of the way on this one. Lucas Van Ness, defensive lineman, Iowa. Here's what he says. I gave the Texans their quarterback of the future with the number two pick. GM Nick Caserio should go with the best prospect on his board with this selection. This was acquired in the Deshaun Watson trade. Don't get picky and try to plug a hole. This roster has to improve in several spots. Van Ness is a versatile, productive defender who made an impact at end and tackle for the Hawkeyes, even as he never actually started a game. He had 13.5 sacks over the last two seasons.
Overrated. The starting games in college.
Yeah. I've seen this story before, and it happened in 2011. But it worked out that time.
Did JJ never start a game?
I don't know if he didn't start a game.
2011.
I'm just saying, I've seen this story before about a big white defensive lineman from the Big Ten getting drafted. That probably a lot of Texan fans aren't super familiar with.
Yeah.
While you have some more maybe appetizing players on the board, keep in mind, the next few players taken after Lucas Van Ness, defensive lineman from Iowa, the most boring college sports program in college sports.
Yeah. I think with the Van Ness deal, the fact that he's kind of he plays tall and isn't good versus the run. And do we know why he wasn't a starter necessarily?
I have no idea. Dude, I did everything I could to not watch Iowa football.
As far as just like height and weight, the biggest thing I've questioned right now is it's hard to do a mock draft for defensive players without knowing what kind of scheme they're going to run.
Yes.
Or who their coach and defensive coordinator is. So like Lucas Van Ness, I think if you want him to be an outside linebacker in a 3-4, it might make more sense than if you wanted to be a 4-3 defensive end, just based on size and stoutness. It's a crapshoot.
I'd like to see them get a weapon if they're going to draft a quarterback. And Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State's the next player taken in this mock. Quentin Johnston from TCU, who I love, is still on the board. Jordan Addison from USC, wide receiver, still on the board. Michael Mayer, who I've publicly agitated Nick Caserio about, tight end from Notre Dame, gets taken by the Packers 3 picks later. Not sexy, Lucas Van Ness. Yeah. That might get booed at the draft
Lucas
party.
Van Ness, is he's got a little too much of a pumpkin pie look to him, too.
Yeah.
He's got like a little schoolboy haircut and a nice smile. I don't know. I need
very Ference.
Yeah, I need
player.
I need a rough around the edges looking dude.
Yes,
you know, like even like JJ when he got drafted, he had a bad haircut and you know kind of like a he had a little baby fat around his face and everything. He didn't look like a polished dude. I don't need polished.
He's way too
lineman.
Handsome.
Yeah,
way too handsome, especially for somebody from Iowa.
You're a handsome defensive lineman. You've capped yourself out at Seth Payne level right there. I need a Hall of Famer.
Seth just called himself handsome.
That was a scouting report against me. Says far too handsome. He should be in Hollywood, not on the defensive line.
Right.
No, I was pretty damn ugly myself. So, yeah, let's see. Howie Long. See, like Howie Long would have been good looking, but in a grisly way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He went to Villanova, too. So he came in like small school chip on the shoulder guy.
What's Aaron Howie Donald? Long? Aaron Donald doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't look like overly coiffed or anything.
No.
Or just you know.
Aaron Donald's a good looking dude,
but he's not like this guy. Looks
no,
like
that guy looks like an Abercrombie and Fitch model, right?
He's a pretty boy.
He's a pretty boy.
Yeah, that's a word I'm trying to look.
Gotcha.
For.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's what it is.
He looks right, an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
Right.
Like he should be cruising around with a sweater over his shoulders
untucked
or something,
flannel shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
the hell with this guy. He's dead to me.
Yep.
Bury you in your fancy graveyard in your parents' Tony suburbs.
You have not found your Trevor Penning yet. I'm excited for you to watch some of the film on these guys.
Offensive lineman that
just
I hate.
Just somebody that you hate.
Trevor Penning, toughest guy in the world, ended up not being so...
He was not being so what?
Well, not being so durable. He missed half the season. He came back. I think he played pretty well.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
His good plays are really good. Yeah. I think he might have learned the lesson already of like, I don't get to just pretend I'm a bully in the NFL. I got to actually learn how to play with technique, which I said all along. I never said he was definitely going to be awful. I said if he didn't learn to play with technique and not actually just be a moronic bully, he's going to get his ass kicked in the NFL.
You absolutely did. You absolutely did. Clint Sterner, I was listening to The Drive yesterday with Sterner and Hughley, and Clint was talking about his vacation to Cabo last week and something that his wife Lauren did when they got back. And I don't know how Clint does this. This one thing that he describes, I have no idea why he does this. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.